going on, Bulls fans? This is Andrew Perez, Pro Bull, the class of 2018, and you're tuned in to the It's Bruin podcast. Go Bulls.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Brutcher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud, to make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things, those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
What's up, Bulls fans, and welcome back to another edition of It's Bruin at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I am your host, Adam Cartwright, and today I am joined by my co-host, Matthew Giardino. And today we got a very special guest that is joining us. He is USF baseball's recruiting coordinator and assistant coach, Blake Kangas. Blake has 17 years of coaching experience amongst various levels of baseball, including a stint as an MLB scout. He also played college baseball at UW-Milwaukee. In his first year here at the at USF with the Bulls, he has helped us put together a all-time recruiting class, one of the best ones in program history. The incoming 2025 freshman class is ranked number 25 in the nation by Perfect Game. Absolutely fantastic. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be able to do this with you all.
Thanks so much for being on the show with us, Blake. It's it's awesome to have come out there this fall ball and be able to see the team a little bit and get to meet you at the practice. But I really appreciate you being on the show with us. And is this your first time living in Tampa?
First time in Tampa. So I lived in West Palm Beach and Jupiter for 5 years. So have seen the Florida weather. It gets a little bit cooler on this side, which is nice. So I can get out of my flip-flops and shorts. So I've been in Florida before, but really enjoying it. Tampa's a great city. I live up in Wesley Chapel, so it's just a small commute into campus on the north side of Tampa. So really, really excited to be here, and a lot of good things happening in Tampa, and especially at USF.
I'm sure the weather is a lot better in Tampa this time of year than in Oklahoma.
Very much so. That's one thing I will not miss. Jack Frost, I'm headed home to Minnesota here for Christmas. He usually wins the battles. But, yeah, it's good. You want to be a baseball coach, you want to be in good weather. And we're blessed to have that in Tampa and Florida. And allows me to get a little golf game in the off season too, which is nice.
Nice. Good to hear you're an avid golfer. It's funny, I've been to a lot of different places in my life, and I will say I went to Minnesota in November one time, and I know that's not even like the coldest time of year in Minnesota, but the sliding doors of the airport opened up and the cold wind hit my face. I was like, I don't know if I'll ever come back here again. So to willingly go back, I'm very impressed. You mentioned golf, and myself and my brother and even John, we're all pretty avid golfers. Have you been able to get out a lot, and have you been able to explore some courses around here? Any favorites so far?
I only went out twice. I went a couple times a few weeks ago. It's just a way to get away. I enjoy just competing. Get to go out, enjoy the good weather. It was a little cooler out. Was over Thanksgiving. I think it was Lexington Oaks I went up to, just happened to pop in, which was fine. First time out wasn't too good. I hadn't swung a club since June. I went out the next week, and long story short, play the first nine and hit the turn and have a group in front of me, and it's this kid and his dad, and asked if I can join him just because it's going to take forever, and ends up being a kid that's top 10 in the world for his age. He's 14 years old. He just kicks my butt. So he humbled me real quickly, but it was fun to see somebody so young, so talented.
Well, lucky for you, we could play golf year round. So, you got some opportunity to improve your game.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, I tell you, Coach, golf is definitely one of those humbling experiences in more ways than one. One thing I want to ask you, Coach, this is one of my favorite things to ask some of our guests, just because I really like, good food. But you spent a little bit of time here in the Tampa Bay area, so you maybe haven't explored too much, but have you found like a favorite restaurant or hangout area around the Tampa Bay area
Oh
that's been
yeah.
good for you?
Oh yeah. Jackson's Bistro Bar and Sushi. Spot on. We like going there a lot. And then Eulalie's really good.
Oh,
Went to
yes.
Columbia once. So I'm a foodie. So there's a bunch of other places that I could go and talk about. But yeah, it's nice. Just be on the water downtown. Different cuisine. There's a lot to do and lots of different places in Tampa. So I've done Cuban food, Mexican food, even the sweets. I'll get a sweet tooth once in a while and do that as well.
Great. There are some really good Cuban sandwiches here, so definitely got to explore around and find some of those.
100%.
Yeah, even I work in Ybor, so if you ever get the chance to walk around, there's like 10 different places that serve Cuban sandwiches. You could just try them all. It's a good way to spend a Sunday afternoon. Where you grew up in Rochester, Minnesota, and went on to play college baseball in Wisconsin. What was it like growing up there and playing baseball?
I was really blessed. My dad was a longtime coach. He's one of the winningest coaches in Minnesota State history. So I literally, the first time I left the hospital, my mom and dad brought me to a baseball field, literally from the hospital. So it's just been in my blood since I was born. So a lot of times as a young kid, just getting to go watch dad with his teams, and they're apparently the best teams in the Midwest for American Legion baseball. So it's something I've always done. It's never seemed like work, and found something I love to do. And so you did that, and then obviously it gets a little bit cold up in Minnesota, so it's a transition into hockey. So I played hockey too. Come from a family of six, so I had two brothers and a sister. So usually in the fall, everybody's playing football in the backyard. Transition to cooler, get the street hockey going on out. Playing hockey, whatever, and then come January, it kind of rolls around, and you start working out in the basketball, and just getting in there, and playing catch and lifting weights, and before you know it, it's summer. So, it's just kind of what you did as a young kid up there. It just you're with your buddies, everybody in the neighborhood, and you just played pickup games and learned to compete and had fun. And obviously, being an athletic family, my dad, he was he pitched at Iowa State, so there was some he did a really good job, and he unfortunately passed 5 years ago. But so I just got to be around him a lot, and then that kind of rubbed off on my brother. My next brother, he was actually the number one recruited goalie in the country out of high school, was an NHL draft pick, and played at Minnesota. So he was a really good hockey player, had a career-ending injury. So you had a lot of competition at our house, to say the least. I think our family, you did everything you can to win. I remember playing at this cup game. You tried to stack it, and my mom, sister, dad, everybody, it's just around the island and seeing who can do it the fastest. And it's 3 straight hours of cutthroat. Somebody else wins, they're running around the house. It's what my family did. We didn't want to lose, and just love to compete.
Has that competitive nature and also your dad obviously being a very successful coach, has that inspired you to go to the career path that you're currently in?
Yeah, 100%. At first, I honestly thought I was going to do what he did. He was a Phi Ed teacher and was a teacher. So I've actually have a teaching degree. And I was going to go back and go back to Rochester after I was done playing and start, teaching and do that. And some things led to another, and I ended up being the volunteer at that time, third assistant at or second assistant at UW-Milwaukee, my alma mater. And then it's kind of where it took off. And but just been blessed to be with great coaches and people throughout the country through my journey, and that's led me to Tampa.
Awesome.
Coach, you come to USF after a couple of stops and from all levels of baseball, all the way from the MLB all the way down to NAIA. I wanted to ask you about a couple of those stops. The first one being down at Kaiser in West Palm Beach, Florida. Walk us through what's a little bit the differences and similarities of coaching the NAIA game versus being in maybe the Division One level.
There's a lot of differences. It's still the same game. We were in the Sun Conference in Florida, which is considered the premier conference. So certain conferences were better than the others and had a lot better teams in those conferences as a whole. I just think from the recruiting side of it was different. You had to wait for people to kind of fall to you a little bit. Where at the Division One level, you see somebody, you go get them. It's a little bit different that way, but. Everybody like to knock, NAI, they're not good students, they're slipping by all that. Like my team GPA, I think, or my last year was like 3.5 as a team. So,
Really good.
we're good academically. And that's something Coach Fordyce really, took pride in, as the head coach there. So, it's just, it's still the same game. You got to show up every day, whether it's high school, whether it's junior college, whether it's, T-ball. You got to show up and play and grind away and let the chips fall where they may. So, it's an older group there, obviously, just like our level now. I think the NAI, it's a lot more transfers and JUCO kids, whereas, the Division One level, you're getting, some of those young, good, baseball players coming in as freshmen and growing them too. So, there's some similarities and differences all around.
That's really interesting, that perspective into that. The next stop I wanted to talk to you about was your time at Oklahoma State. You had a lot of success there, director of player development, which is might be something that's a little new to some college baseball fans and USF fans, in general, is that it's kind of one of those newer positions that is coming as these staffs are able to grow and really to the sizes that they should be to manage these programs. So, give us a little insight into that role and maybe tell us how it benefits the program.
So basically my job was recruit. That's what I did all day, every
Okay.
day. I, was a liaison for, campus visits, organized camps, didn't get to coach, which was hard for me because, growing up with my dad as a coach, like you'd want to coach and do all that. So, it was a different type of role there. But it really was eye-opening for me. Obviously, Coach Holliday brought me in and blessed for that opportunity, and just got to learn from him. Just like what he valued. And I, anywhere you go and anywhere you work with different people, you're going to pick up on some things, and it kind of makes you into kind of what you firmly believe in, and what you kind of value as well. So. Just being there every day, nonstop putting lists together, who to go see. When somebody had something going on, I got to go out on the road and recruit. And then, before you know it, that second or that first summer, Coach Seeley decided to retire. So there was nobody on the road, and I got to go out on the road basically all summer and recruit. So it just was fortunate to have it happen that way. And just got to go out and Josh kind of saw what I was doing and kind of just let me run with it a little bit, and just ultimately was blessed to have that opportunity and got to go out and see a lot of good players and bring a lot of good players to Oklahoma State.
Coach, we talked about, one of the reasons why you came to USF, and that's probably the weather, but what are some of the other things that, really drove you to decide to come to USF? And did you already know Coach Hannes prior to, this job opening coming up, or how did that process go?
I think first and foremost, obviously, like I touched on before, it was just an opportunity to be able to get on the field and coach. It's something that I've wanted to do. I've done my whole life. I mean, I've helped with pitching, I've done catching, I've done outfielders, I've done infielders, I've ran offense. I've been the bullpen coach at Oklahoma State, so like I've done a little bit of everything at all my stops. So it's just it's something I wanted to do and I'm passionate about. Just with that teaching background, just being able to communicate with kids and kind of get in their brains a little bit, and just build them up as people, because this game can humble you really quickly. And I think just through my experiences, having good years and bad years while I was playing, I think it's just helped me more. I was just an okay player, but I think just the experiences I've had and as a coach, I think has allowed me to give that back to the kids and hopefully set them up for success. So, to your next question, I never had met Coach Hannes in my life. Saw the opening. I was like, I have Florida ties a little bit. Obviously knew a lot of the travel ball coaches down there, and actually had two former coaches from his conference, from Dallas Baptist, Coach Hefner, and then Coach Fitzgerald, who is the longtime assistant there, who's now the head coach at Kansas. They both reached out on my behalf, and then obviously talked to Coach Holiday too, and that's kind of how the ball started to, tumble a little bit. And before you know it, we're on the phone, and before you know it, I'm in Tampa.
That's great. We're really glad you're here. And just kind of speaking of, you said you wanted to jump at that opportunity at being on the field. You do currently serve as a recruiting coordinator and assistant coach. Can you give us a little bit of insight and talk a little bit about what your role is on the team and kind of what you're working on with them on the field?
Yep. So I help from the offensive standpoint. I help with Coach Peters. He runs offense and leads the hitting. So I'm helping there on a day-to-day basis when I'm at practice. And then defensively, can do a little bit of everything, but right now I'm doing the catchers. I'm working with the catchers. But like I told you before, if coach needs me to do something, I can jump around a little bit, but the focus for me right now is on those two areas.
It just interesting to kind of follow up on that. Just with a little bit of my background, this might pique me a little bit more, but how does it work? How does your practice maybe schedule go? Is it a lot different in the preseason when maybe you have more time to maybe do some drill work and maybe do some other things versus when you get into the season? I guess, kind of how does that evolve as you go through the season when you're playing 4 or 5 games a week and kind of
Yep.
you have to manage injuries? How do you really kind of keep those fundamentals, kind of instilled?
Yep. So the NC obviously has accountable hours that you have for practices in season, out of season. So you have to monitor those. Obviously, weather is going to dictate things. Obviously, if people are banged up, maybe you can't scrimmage as much. Maybe you have a bunch of games this week, or maybe you're traveling one day and you lose a practice. It's just like recruiting. It's the same thing. There's just so many different variables. It's never the same thing. I think the thing about baseball as a sport in general, it's very routine oriented. So you want to get guys in routines, whether it's sleeping, eating, practicing, playing. All those things are important. So I think the biggest thing is when we got in, obviously I stayed in a hotel with Coach Bowers and Coach Hannes for a good month and a half. So we had a lot of quality time, you could say. But we're able to talk about those things and think about things out loud. And at the end of the day, Coach put a plan together, and that's kind of how we ran with it.
That's awesome. I mean, I don't know how to kind of phrase this the way I want to, but do you see a lot more kind of value in maybe the managed kind of live scrimmage where maybe it's not just full go play baseball, but you have maybe a certain situation and you're trying to do an exact certain thing versus maybe so much on drill work or even just straight BP? Do you see that a little bit? Do you guys kind of incorporate that more, or how does that go?
You change it up, like Coach Hannes says, every day you don't know what's going to happen, and he wants to kind of have practices unpredictable at times. Show up, the kids don't know what's going to be at practice, because sometimes when guys know, they kind of just take off because they know what's coming next, instead of, oh, what's happening next? Well, just like the game, you don't know what's going to happen next. It's a bad call, or somebody drops a ball, and before you know it, all hell breaks loose a little bit, you could say. I think at times, like in scrimmages, maybe you're letting guys steal bases, and if they get thrown out, so be it. But you're having catchers work and pitchers work on holding runners. BP, it might be a certain task at hand that day that somebody's asked to do. Maybe it's an offensive execution. Maybe It's a bunt defense day. We're going to have the first pitch be thrown and our guys bunting, and we're just working on different types of team defense. So there's a lot of different things you can do. I think that's the beauty of coaching, is you kind of, see where your team goes, what they need more of, what they need less of. Sometimes you need to challenge them. Maybe you got to put stuff on the line a little bit, whether it's, at the end of the day, you got to pick up the equipment, or you maybe got to run a few sprints. Who knows? It just everybody does it differently, but at the end of the day, there's a method to the madness, and I think that that's what it comes down to, is just to put it in different variables in play and making the kids learn to kind of think on the fly and be athletic.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that's something that really stood out to me when I came and watched the practice and the scrimmage, was just the overall mix-up of different skills that you guys were working on, especially, with the bunting and the PFP. I thought that was really cool to see that in action. And I think that that's something that a lot of programs may neglect, and it's all the attention to detail that's so important.
Little things, big differences, and especially in those games that matter the most. Anybody can win or lose by 10 runs, but to win one-run games, it's a hard thing to do.
Definitely, you got to get the fundamentals right. Cool. So the next thing I want to talk about is, obviously, you're on the recruiting trail a lot, and you're probably analyzing film and checking out different players of all ages, really. What are the things that you're looking for in recruits? Are there any specific positive traits you look for, physically, mentally, emotionally, anything like that?
A pretty loaded question. We don't, I don't know if we have enough time in the day to cover all that, but it's just a lot of different things. I think my journey has led me to, California to start with, when I was at Feather River College, and Terry Baumgartner, I show up day one, and he goes, "You're the recruiting coordinator." I'm like, "I've never recruited and I've never been to California, And he just said, "Go." And just being in a dugout my whole life, you kind of, "Oh, that looks right," and this swing plays, and over the time you start to kind of learn about, you're going to make some mistakes at times, and you're going to learn, "Oh, that works and that doesn't work." And I think as a young recruiter, what I did a lot is obviously I wanted the best players and I would go after them, but I wouldn't always get them, and I would always check up on the guys that I thought were going to be good, how they did at their next stop. And even though I wasn't getting those guys, it allowed me to put in my head that, hey, I was right on that guy and that did work, or vice versa, maybe it didn't work. And so you do that a little bit, and then it's just getting out to the field. It's long hours, it's phone calls, but the biggest thing is it's all about relationships. Whether it's with coaches, whether it's with travel ball coaches, whether it's with players, now it's with agents and advisors. It's just, that's what makes it tick. It's the people side of it, and then obviously you have to have talent. And obviously everybody can see a guy throwing 95 miles an hour, he's got a good arm, but I think you got to get inside their brains a little bit. When I was doing stuff with the Twins, that's who I worked for a little bit. I was dabbling to go into it full time, and they told me, and this is what's always stuck with me, is he sent me a book to read, and he said, "This is where baseball is going." And it was the difference between growth and fixed mindset players. And basically, long story short, they found out the guys that had the growth mindset were the ones that succeeded and were able to get to the big leagues and have success, because they could deal with failure. Where the fixed mindset guys essentially were the guys uber talented. There's so many big leaguers. I mean, with the guys here at Oklahoma State that were playing the big leagues forever, they talked about all these guys in the minor leagues that had big league talent, but it's how the brain worked. And the fixed mindset guys would strike out three times and then have to go hit 300 balls in the cages to make themselves feel better so they could play tomorrow. It's just, you're trying to see that in kids. You're trying to see how they act with their teammates. You're trying to see, do they hustle? Are they able to do things on their own? I like to see when they fail. I really, really do, because it's easy in high school. You're probably the one of the better players or the best player on the team, and seeing those guys, have to fail a little bit, because they're going to fail a lot more at our level, because there's obviously bigger, better players consistently on a routine basis. So how they react to that, I think, is important. And obviously size and strength and athleticism. I like really athletic guys, like big guys. I think that's the thing I'm excited about our 25 class right now is we have some guys that are really big physical kids that 17, 18 years old, that are going to be able to, come in and be really, really physical. And that's the difference between, some of these, smaller programs and big programs. It's just the size of the kids, and it's not easy to get those kids at time, but we did a good job as a staff to be able to bring those people in, and I think that are going to be some cornerstones for our program for the future, and I think that's important. But I think the last thing, you just got to learn to trust people. You get a kid on the phone, it is literally an interview. The first time you call a kid and you start recruiting him, I've had it where I don't want to call the kid back, and at other times you're like, you get off the phone and you're like, I want him even more. So I think that plays a role into it. How they value school. You could go into, do they play multi-sports? Like maybe is the kid the best baseball player, but on the basketball team, he's the sixth man, guy coming off the bench. He learns a different role. Like that all plays a role into all of this. And then you throw it all together and you try to, make the best decisions or with what you have. And I think over time, when you do that more, you're on the road and you're talking to your other counterparts at different schools that are recruiting the same types of kids and, pick people's brains. I think over the course of time, you start to, kind of put something together that you believe in and have some, absolutes, kind of what you do want or don't want. And from there, you just go out and see who's out there and the rest is kind of history, you anywhere you go at the end of the day, whether I've been at the junior college level, the NAI level, the Division I level, good players are good players, and good players make good coaches. And that's why I've always wanted to recruit, just because I want to win. And I know the more better players you have, the better chance you have to win.
Well, to me, it sounds like you know exactly what you're looking for, and you know all the combinations of those traits, the physical traits, the mental traits, all those things that make up the athletes. It makes me even more excited to see the roster you guys have put together, not only this year, but the rosters you guys will put together in the future. That's really exciting.
It is, Coach. We had spoke to Coach Hannes a few weeks ago, and he had mentioned when you first got hired that you really hit the ground running on the recruiting trail. I can imagine that it doesn't really matter how you when you make the transition into a new school. There's probably you probably feel behind, kind of getting started. What were some of the highlights of this trail, and how did you put it together? Because it was really a fantastic class.
Yeah, literally drove a U-Haul from Stillwater to Tampa, was here for like 30 hours and I was gone. I knew right away when I took the job, I had to get out on the road. I was already behind, like you said. And just to see people and I mean I'm on the road and in between games, I'm going to different fields up in Atlanta and I'm trying to onboard and do stuff and then obviously you're doing stuff with the portal and you're trying to get kids in. It was just, I didn't really sleep much. It was a long summer, but it was worth it. Was able to go to Atlanta a lot and see the underclass kids and went to Hoover and was in Sanford and was in Fort Myers. So I just think the biggest thing is getting out and having people see you. That's the other thing is, we got a handful of kids in the two classes that we've signed so far. I wasn't there to see them. And everybody always talks about it, but it's real. Like I was there to see somebody else and that kid was playing in the game. And before you know it, we got a handful of those guys coming to USF. And so they're some of the best guys we have coming in. So you just never know who's going to be there. Like I remember Coach Hill when I was at Kansas State said an umpire called him once and said, you do not want this kid. He was terrible on the field and that's all it took. So kids never know who's watching. You never do, I think just at the end of the day, you go out and you watch games. And obviously another difference between here and the NAI level is you have the opportunity to see kids a lot more. I saw some kids this summer play six, seven, eight times. So you have a better idea. It's not just two at bats, or it's not just a video you see and have to make a decision. Like, these are hard decisions, and you go back and forth. Do you want this guy or do you want that guy? And all those variables that we talked about go into play a little bit. And at the end of the day, you go and you make your offers and you get some and you don't get some. Some kids are probably going to lean some ways and you probably don't allot as much time that way. But I just think at the end of the day is good players are good players, and you just got to find ways to, build that relationship and tell them what you're all about. And before you know it, they're on visits and you get to know the family, because it's not just a decision for the kid, it's a decision for the family. It's going to affect the rest of their life. The people in on those teams with them are going to be in their weddings someday. These guys are going to know the rest of their lives, and I think getting away from having kids being able to commit at eighth grade was a great rule put into play. And obviously, we got all sorts of other rules with NCAA legislation being put in, and I can't even keep up with that right now. I don't even know what to do. I just know I'm trying to do the best with what I know and have. And you go to those ABCA conventions like I'll go to in January, and you talk to people and you call your buddies on the phone and have you heard anything more? You just there's a lot of different things behind the scenes people don't understand and know, and then you're having to call, advisors and talk with them and get their opinion on things, and you're talking to scouts and hey, have you seen anybody? And or hey, can you if you're at this game, can you tell me what you think of him? I've already seen him. I want your opinion on it because I only have so much time in the day, and Coach Peters and everybody else on the road only has so much time. Like you can't see everybody every single game, so it's just there's a method to the madness behind it. Trying to put a schedule together until it rains, and then it totally changes the schedule, and then it's a free for all, and before you know it, you're sitting there and having a burger at the local joint, watching it rain, and being like, I don't even know where I'm going to go in an hour when this rain stops because I don't know what the schedule is going to look like. So, it's chaos.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Cool. So, the next thing I want to talk about is, obviously we just talked about, the recruiting class, but more specifically the top 25 freshman class that you put together for this upcoming season. Can you talk a little bit about the experience in putting that class together and how were you able to have that success with that class?
Really, really, really happy how it turned out. I think we have a mix of a lot of kids from Florida, and we got some outstate kids that are really, really talented kids. When I came in, I knew some kids were going to be letting go. I didn't know who they were going to be from some schools. So we got a handful of guys that were recently committed to, or previously committed to other schools that are coming in. And then obviously, I think we did a really good job of getting some in-state kids, some really, really talented kids. And I think that's just allowed us to have a really good foundation for what our program's going to look like moving forward with the kids that are be coming in next year. And they're all really good kids. They come from good families, really good students on top of it, which helps. Obviously, you guys know USF's a really, really good institution. So I think that plays a role with the recruiting side of it a little bit too. But I think it's a little bit of blend of strength, speed. The arms that we have coming in are all going to have a chance to come in, I believe, as freshmen and contribute right away. And obviously, it's still 12 months away. But when you get good players, you're also going to have to deal with the draft, and you're going to have to monitor that too. And there's going to be some kids that are going to have opportunities, and you're having to have those conversations as well. So it's just a ongoing process that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and I really like what we have. But I think the biggest thing for us is when I came and I talked to all these local travel balls teams in Florida and the high school coaches, I said, I want your best players. That's I want your best
That's awesome.
players. And if I don't get them and we don't get them, which is fine, we're not going to get everybody, we're going to find the best players and we're going to bring them in. And that's exactly what we did. And people in the state have noticed that. But at the end of the day, I want the best kids in Tampa to stay home. Coach Hannes wants the best kids in Tampa to stay home. And, they always say if you build it, they will come. We're just going to continue to put our head down and bring quality people and people that want to, be a part of our program and see our vision and what we're trying to do here and have a chance to win and hopefully win at a high level. And Obviously, that's going to take a little time. It just doesn't happen overnight. But hopefully, like I say to everybody, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it's going to be a little bit faster than it was for that. So we'll continue to grind and talk to people and get to know people and before you know it, hopefully have a program that everybody's really proud of.
Yeah, that you bring up a great point with, recruiting locally. We've seen some really great players go on to some other schools, UF and LSU with Dylan Cruz and Jack Caglione, and it would be really cool to get some of those players to come to USF. And I definitely see that happening. And when you're talking to these families and these players, what are some of the selling points of USF that you're really trying to drive home with them, especially when you're, recruiting really talented players that may have a chance to get drafted?
There's a lot of things. When I first came in, I didn't know much about USF, other than it was obviously in the American Conference and it's in Tampa. Had driven through Tampa. I hadn't never really been here. So there was a lot to learn. And then you start to learn all of this while you're recruiting and over time and starting to meet people. But I think first and the foremost, obviously you all know, we all live here. Tampa's a great place to call home. And I think I was at church one day. It was probably the second weekend I was here or whatever, and there was a guest speaker, and it was one of the pastors from USF, and he was there, and he got to speak, and one of the things he said was, there's a reason why there's a lot of people in Tampa that are USF fans, because most people that go to USF never leave Tampa. They like Tampa so much. It's a really good place to call home. There's lots to do. It's not like Miami where it's way too big, or Dallas or Chicago, but it's also not too small. It's almost like it's just right, So I think it's a really good city. And then obviously the school itself, a lot of good degrees. It's a bigger campus. So from the academic side of things, it's really good. But I think the few things that I really want to touch on is our athletic director, Michael Kelly. He's a superstar, man. He gets after it. He's been doing it before I ever got here, and he continues to be a forward thinker. And he's set this athletic program up for a lot of success. So I think that's something that we really, really touch on. And he's been in and met with recruits that come to campus as well. I think the next thing would be, just you have our a deputy AD who over is our oversight for our program, Lalo Prado, who you guys know. He coached here. He's a baseball guy. He wants to see our program have success. And then Jeff Bromley's here. He is another senior AD. He's a baseball guy. And they want to win here. And it's easy to say we want to win, but they are literally trying to do everything they can to set us up for success. And with the rules changing every day and the scholarships changing every day and the cost of doing things and facilities, the arms race with that, like they are trying to do what they can to help set us up for success. And it's our job, to be able to bring the quality student athletes in to be able to come in and, help build it. And then you bring them into camp or campus, I should say, and they're on their visits and they get to meet with two people I think are superstars in our industry. Like Brandon Roberts is a really, really, really good strength coach. And he's a really, really good human being. He oversees all the strength coaches here at USF, but he only works with baseball on a day-to-day basis. It's an easy selling point. He looks like the Incredible Hulk, and the guys come in and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll listen to him. I'll do what he tells me to do. So we got him, and then our academic advisor, Rosemary, bless her heart, just a great human. It's an academic side of it too. It's not just athletics. And she really is able to, tell them what she's going to do for them and makes them feel comfortable, with the situation they're going to be in and answers questions. And it's like a second mom, it really is. And she really cares and she's a good person. And I think when you put those people together, it just shows, kind of what we have to offer here and to be able to set people up for success. And I think there's so many good things. And then you talk about, Coach Hannes. You talk about the coach that's here who's had all this success and knows how to win, knows how to lead a program. I don't know if you guys have ever been to where he came from, but that city he came from ain't the easiest place to bring people in. Trust me, I've been there, I played there, and I couldn't wait to leave. It's one of those things. And now he gets to sell Tampa. You can sell Coach Hannes really well. He's a good human. He's old school. He's a grinder. He's really, really smart. So when you start talking about all those things at the end of the day, it just adds up for a vision. They're able to see it. It's a picture that's been painted for them to be able to visualize, and they get to see what we're all about.
That's awesome. I think if I ever have a kid someday and he's good at baseball, that's going to be his number one destination.
100%.
Awesome. All right, Coach. Well, switching gears here from kind of the recruiting aspect to maybe looking at this fall that just went through. Just first off, on a personal level, just finished up your first semester here as a coach at USF. What are your first impressions of maybe the campus, the facilities, and just kind of life in general on at USF?
It's a beautiful campus. It's a big campus, although it's really the academic and athletic side of it's probably just a third of the campus. But I mean, we got a Publix on campus. I don't think any other school in America does. We got Embassy Suites on campus. You got hospitals. So there's a lot going on. But I just think from a perspective of a place where kids can go and get a quality education, and they can go and compete at a really high level and have supportive, athletic administration, and they're able to fund you with good meals and travel right, all those things. It's just a really good place to go. And there's a lot of good places in America. It's not just us, but we have something that we can sell that is desirable, and it's real. It's not talk. They're able to see that when they come on visits. I think that's the biggest thing, because there's a lot of good people out there. They get on the phone and they can tell you a color looks black when it's really white. They're just good at what they do. So it's just part of what this is all about, is showing them and letting them see for themselves. Sometimes it just sells itself.
That's true. I'm roughly 10 years or so removed from graduation at USF, which is kind of sad to say out loud, but just the growth that from the time that I was there to what you see now, and it's continuing now, both athletically, academically, and like you said, with the public stuff, there's just all these little things are growing on campus. Just what a time to be here.
New football stadium coming soon, entertainment district. Like, we got this place rocking.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've seen a lot of baseball stadiums in your day. How does the Red compare to some of the other programs you've seen?
It's good. I do like we have turf with all the rain we get in the fall, which is nice. Nice scoreboard. Obviously, those hitting tunnels out there, it's nice. Obviously, I worked at Oklahoma State, which might be the nicest facility in America. So I was blessed to see that. I think just at the end of the day, you make what you want of it, of where you work and where you play, and take pride in your facility. I know Coach Peters had them all out there cleaning the field before the end of the semester when everybody went home for Thanksgiving. It's what we have, some places might have positives and negatives, with their facilities, or maybe their maintenance or whatever. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, and we're blessed to have it. And hopefully, as we build this and bring people in the stands, they're proud of it and win some baseball games along the way.
Yeah, I think a big fan goal of ours is to be able to go to the Red for a regional or a super regional and create a really fun environment. I think that'll be a really fun thing to happen in the future. But yeah, the next thing I want to touch on here is, there were some big areas of focus coming into the fall. Obviously, first time a lot of these players are coming together. What were some of those things that you guys were focusing on, and do you feel like you achieved them?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, this is a really hard fall. Probably one of the most challenging I've had in my 17 years. Just coming in, not knowing any of the kids, a brand new staff. So Coach Cates was a holdover, so he actually kind of helped with the transition a little bit. Just allowed us to kind of understand how things worked from the business side of things to, who were players on the roster, and then I think just from there, everybody came in from different places, and we none of us knew each other prior, so it's learning about each other first before you even get to the team side of it. And it was obviously it was a big roster this fall. Coach honored all the guys that had their scholarships coming in prior, and then we brought a handful of transfers in on top of it. And the kids knew when they came in, it was going to be not everybody at the end of the fall was going to be here. So you're developing relationships with kids and you're trying to teach them. And, before you know it, it's Thanksgiving and you're down to your number that you have, and you just look and you're just like, this thing just started, and obviously we had that hurricane that was tough that knocked us out for a week. I think going into it, as a coach, it's all about repetitions and all about getting to know kids. But we really needed to get to know the kids. We needed to know what these guys are all about. And there's a blend of some transfers that have come in that have had some success in the past. We have some kids that are already here on the roster that have had success. And I think just, bringing in some of those freshmen on top of it, you just put it all together. At the end of the day, we had our meetings and we sat there and ultimately we came out to the roster that you'll see this spring. And I think the kids worked hard. I think they came together. I think at the beginning, obviously, Coach runs a pretty tight practice and it's fast paced with a lot of energy, which you've probably seen being there. And it just kids had to learn. Hey, this is the expectation. And he built a foundation through competition and through just being competitive and through drills and some of the stuff I saw, I was like, I've never seen this in my life. But I'm like, okay, let's go with it. And he does some things different, and that's what I love about him. He's got all these, kind of tricks up his sleeve, and I'm like, what are we going to see next? I'm like, what is going on here with this one? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Why? There's a method to the madness. But I just think with all that, I was out on the road recruiting a lot. I was not at practice as much as I would probably be in normally in the fall, just because I was trying to get out and kind of change the classes a little bit and see the 26s and see junior college stuff in the fall. But I think the big thing through everything was at the end of the day, they all came together. We're starting to implement what the expectations are. They understand those expectations. They understand what's important. They understand how he communicates. They understand how a practice is ran. We tried to get them, like I talked about before, in the routine to be able to, be able to have breakfast in the morning before something happened, so they were eating, so they weren't losing weight. It's just there's a lot of different variables that went in, but at the end of the day, you see at the end of the fall, you get to play a couple different teams and, put a different jersey on finally, and we had some success there. But there's a lot of positive things to look at, and going back, just. From where we began to where we are now, to build off of. But there's a long ways from, that first weekend, and our guys need to continue to get better and, just need to continue to teach and grow as a group, and as a staff at the same time. We just need to understand what these guys can offer them and put them in positions to set them up for success.
Now, what part of the team do you think, in particular, improved the most throughout fall ball, and which areas do you feel like there might need to be still some improvement before the season gets underway?
Got it. I think Coach Schlereth did a really, really good job with the pitchers, especially with how many we had. He probably would have liked to have a more time with all of them, but just with, the time restrictions with what we have with the rules, he wasn't able to do that. But I think he's done a lot of good things with the guys in a short amount of time. I don't know if you guys have talked to him yet, but he's really big into arm care. His career was plagued with a lot of injuries with him, so that's something he really takes pride in. He's really subtle with his cues, but he's really knowledgeable, and I think the pitching staff as a whole collectively has drawn to him and believe in him, and I think that's really important because there's conviction behind with what he's doing, and when he or coach is calling pitches, they're going to go at it and they're not going to think twice about it. But just from alternating grips, to maybe changing mechanics or just to getting them to feel something. The big thing about coaching is It's not what we know as coaches. You know, it's how to make the kids understand it and be able to do it. You know, and I could be the smartest person in the room or whoever, but if I can't get somebody to do something, that's not coaching. That's just me knowing what I'm talking about. There's a difference. So I think Coach Slareth did a really good job with the pitchers, and I'm really pleasantly surprised with that. We've had a couple arms I haven't even thrown yet that are coming back from injury that didn't throw all fall. I think there's a few guys that have a chance to come in and play key roles as well. So as they continue their development and rehab, I think we have a few more guys on the way that haven't even thrown for us yet as well. So was really happy about that. As far as what needs the most work, I'll probably answer the question for Coach already. It's always defense. He loves defense nonstop, whether it's cuts and relays, whether it's bunt Ds, whether it's routine plays. It's just reps. And I think just doing that. And I think when we get back, it'll be a lot more team defense right away. We'll have our team together. We'll be able to implement some more things and grow that way. But I think from a defensive perspective, just guys being, clean, playing catch, just understanding, where to go, how to communicate, all those things go into it. And at the end of the day, I think the teams that can play catch and throw strikes are going to be the ones that win the most games.
Definitely, in my experience, at least sitting on the couch or sitting in the stands watching the game, that's definitely resonates with me too. Just seeing the good teams and the bad teams.
100%.
All right, Coach. So, you mentioned earlier you're on field coaching, working with hitters, and also working with catchers. And I kind of wanted to talk to you about maybe some points of emphasis. I'll start with the catchers because, one thing that I've kind of been noticing, and I think a lot of baseball fans have been seeing maybe over the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years or so, is kind of the knee down stance, and maybe starting with the glove way down at the bottom and working up. Can you kind of walk us through maybe some of those techniques and maybe some points of emphasis that you're working on with the catchers? How big is blocking? I feel like sometimes with some of these stances, some of these guys are just throwing blocking the ball out the window. What are you kind of working with catchers on as far as that?
I think first and foremost, it starts with how they lead. They're an extension of the coaching staff. They're the ones that are going to be out there communicating with pitchers every single pitch. They're going to have dialogue with the umpires. And then you get into the side of things with bunt defenses. So they're going to be able to see things that a lot of people can't because they're literally right in the action. So I think first and foremost, they just need to learn to be able to communicate and know what's going on. And obviously, they probably struggled early a little bit just because this was all new to all of them. And that's the beauty about having kids that have been in programs for multiple years. It gets easier and you continue to grow and build off of it. And you have kids that have done it before that can teach the other kids. So there's a bunch of different coaches. It's not just the coaches on the staff. So it's just part of, coming into a new program and having to, kind of change a few things up. And so that's what we did. But from the catching side of it, I think just the biggest thing is you're seeing now the one knee to be able to get underneath the ball to get the low strike. I really don't care what they do, just as long as they're catching it. But I think the biggest thing for them that we really worked on was our footwork. A lot of them were long and their exchanges were off and they're just out of sequence throwing. And we spent a lot of time this fall to really just get in sequence with how their feet lined up with their transfer. And all three of them had a lot of success and made tremendous improvements. And then obviously it's just fine tuning, catching and trying to beat balls to spots is also important. And obviously we want pitchers to be able to hit spots, but at sometimes they're gonna bounce balls. And when they bounce balls, our guys need to be able to put their nose in it and eat it. They need to have confidence to be able to bury a slider. And if they don't have confidence in the catcher, that guy can't be out there. And I've been in programs where that's the case, and that guy's not catching much longer. You got to have somebody out there that they trust. It's all about trust in this game, and if we can't trust guys in the game, they're not going to play. And sometimes it's a guy less talented, but you trust him and you know what you're going to get out of him. And at the end of the day, that's guy that's playing all the time because we know exactly what's going to get out of him. He might not win us the game or he might lose us the game, but we know we're going to get out of him every single day. And as a coach and as a staff and as a program, those are the type of kids we want to bring in, we want to build. So we have a group full of kids that we trust and then it's our job as coaches to be able to set them up for success and put them in, positions to be able to have some success on the field during the game.
Awesome. And then, from the offensive side of it, what's maybe one of the one or two things, and understanding that every hitter coming from the high school level, making that jump to D1 is a little different, but maybe what's that one thing that you're seeing a lot of high school hitters maybe jump making the jump to the Division One and struggling with that you're really having to try to hammer home to, not necessarily break a bad habit, but maybe get into a good one.
I mean, you go on the road, I am amazed at such a young age how hard kids are throwing, but at the same time, how well the kids are actually hitting the good velo at a young age. So it's not really a velo thing anymore. It's more mental. They're up there and they're not having success, like I said prior, and they're not used to going over four ever. In high school, and they might go for 10, and before you know it, they're feeling for things or they're trying to change stuff up instead of just looking, in the mirror and in between your ears, and that's what the issue is. So, understanding that and knowing that, because I've been there and we've all seen it as coaches that you sit there and a guy struggles, and you got to have a time when you just got to go put your armor on them and love them a little bit. And at times, you need times where you have the relationships and you build the trust and the rapport and you know the kid and you're in their grind and you get in their butt a little bit and get after them and be like, let's go. So you got to be able to push and pull, and that's part of coaching. But I think just the biggest thing is balls are moving faster. They're able to manipulate with the technology that we have. To kind of see where people's, strengths are and weaknesses. And, back in the day when I played, you rolled in and nobody knew about anything. You're taking notes on where they were hitting the ball. And now you get this stuff with, it's shaded where you hit it. It's, at certain times of day what you're hitting. Is it lefties or righties? Is it high in the zone or is it low in the zone? Like, there's so many different variables. So they're going to know right away what your strengths and weaknesses are. And you have to be able to adjust. It's a game of adjustments. That's what baseball is. You see guys go in the big leagues all the time and they go in right away as rookies and they tear it up for a month and a half and then the league adjusts. Well, then that player has to adjust again to the league, So it's a chess game going back and forth the entire time and just understanding that. And young kids, it's hard. They don't have that kind of insight just because they're young and inexperienced. And knowledge is power, and experience helps, and all those things lead you to be able to try to teach the little pupil who's sitting there with his head down and in the fetal position because he struck out three times. Well, like, you got one more bat, man. You might win us the game in the ninth, and you hit a home run. You'll never even think about those three strikeouts. It's just trying to flip the brain.
Right. And you mentioned all the data and stuff. I often wonder, like, 'cause you often hear something about paralysis through analysis, like getting way too much data. But then I think about, these kids coming up now, they've essentially grown up in this age of information. And so maybe all of that data actually kind of helps them, compartmentalize. Have you seen it both ways, or you seen it one way or the other? Or what are you thinking?
I've seen it everywhere. I remember I was at Kansas State, and we told our catcher Blair DeBoard, he's now like one of the ADs at Missouri. He was our starting catcher, and we told him he could not watch film. You cannot watch film himself because he's just paralysis by analysis. And I walked by one day, and he's on a computer watching. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're not supposed to do that, But there's just so much information out there and videos where kids can explore. But they just don't know, but they think it's a quick fix, or they think they can be Juan Soto. Like, they're freaks. These guys are grown men and different sizes and shapes, and swings work differently for different body types, and strengths and flexibility and all those things play a role. So from the technology side of it, I think it helps with tunneling if you're using Edgetronic cameras, in a bullpen where guys can have overlay and see how it comes out of a hand. I was blessed at Oklahoma State. We also had people that did data. That was their full-time job, was to do the reports and the video and all that. So I worked with Jack Montgomery and Colton Lovelace. Colton's now at TCU, but When I first got there, obviously come from the NAI level, I didn't have that much technology, and I knew that I needed to learn and know how to use it and know what it meant. So I would have 20-minute sessions with the guys to learn about, hey, what does this mean? You know, from a recruiting side of it, you're looking for somebody that's the outlier that does something differently. What do I need to look for? What makes sense? What's a dead zone fastball? What's a high vert fastball? You know, oh, is extensions good here? You know, release height, all those things from a pitching side of it, hard hit rates, chase rates. Like, there's so many different things that go into it. And I think when you know all that as a coach, I couldn't say that all to a kid right now and say, go play. It is just going to make scrambled eggs in his brain. You know, you got to simplify it. It has to be a simple cue. You don't have to explain all those things. You're just going to tell them the one thing and they need to go do it because you know if you told them all that, it's just going to paralyze them instead of, hey, here's your one cue, go do it. Because of all those things I just talked about, that's what you need to do. And then he'll go out and have success. So, it's just part of coaching is kind of dumbing it down a little bit. And obviously, as you grow with players and you teach your highest learners and your best players, you know, want more and more and more, you continue to build off of that and you'll start explaining those things. But you can't go on day one and just start throwing all sorts of stuff into the fire and then tell them they need to understand and know how to do it. It's not a recipe for success.
Awesome. That I mean, I'll tell you what, this whole conversation has been incredible. You know, you've shared so much information with us on your philosophies and your mindset and coaching and what you're looking for. I think it's been a very informational conversation for not only us, but also for our listeners. But the last thing I want to touch on here is, you know, we recently got to see the 2025 schedule. And obviously, you know, the first series of the year, we got Iowa coming in here. They were a pretty good program last year. They were 33 and 25, 14 and 10 in the Big Ten. You know, what are some of the things that you know, you guys are looking for with that series, and how do you see that playing out?
Opening weekend, baby. You never know what's going to happen. Everybody tries to do too much. You see really good teams throughout the country lose games to teams they shouldn't. It's just because, you know, everybody, it's the start of the season and everybody makes it out to be more than it really is. So, as coaches, you just try to keep the guys grounded as much as possible. Obviously, Iowa's a talented program. They've had success, been in regionals with Coach Heller up there. He actually recruited me when I was in high school when he's at Northern Iowa before they got rid of baseball. So he's been doing it for a long time. So they have talented players, you know, and it's going to be a good test. We're going to find out right away. I think that's why you go in the fall and you play Florida so those guys see a good program and see what it looks like. To kind of set yourself up for that. But we're a long ways from a finished product. You know, it's a long season. But I think the biggest thing is it'll be opening weekend. Our guys will be, you know, excited. And obviously, hopefully, we get a good turnout with our fans showing up and go out there and compete. It's about competing. And between now and then, we're going to try to find the best guys that we trust to put in those positions to have success. And we'll see how it happens when we go compete and you know, first pitch is thrown.
Awesome. One thing I guess a little bit of a sidebar here, but you know, in terms of overall where you think we are as a team, you know, going into this season as a percentage, you know, how close do you think we are to being able to play competitive baseball and to be able to play competitively against Iowa?
I think it's baseball. It doesn't matter what level you're at or who you're playing. You got to go out there and you're competing against yourself. And then obviously with variables like coach wants to have in practice with a bad call here or ump doesn't call a strike or whatever that dictates stuff. Well, you got to adjust. So I think for us, I think a bright spot of the fall was when we went and played Florida and we won that second game. And you know, we didn't have many hits. We didn't get really up any runs and didn't give up any hits ourselves. We just found a way to win a game, you know. And you know, I think with this group that we're going to have right now, there's some talented pieces in certain areas, and obviously some guys are going to be putting in opportunities and roles to see what they do with them. But I think if we go out there and play solid defense, like I said, and you know, have some of those guys that bring experience back, be able to step up and maybe even make jumps forward. That's the goal with that, you know, the Jackson Mayos of the world or Marcus Brodeal, those types of guys, then you bring your transfers in, and then you have a couple of those arms that maybe didn't have as good a year as last year that are evolving and worked with Coach Slareth in the bullpen and all those things together, you just don't know. I've been at programs where a guy's a fall American, looks like he's going to be a first round draft pick, and by the second week, he's not playing the rest of the year. Some guys just can't do it for some reason. They make it out more than it really is. And then you get the other guys who are terrible in the fall, and you're like, this guy is not going to be able to help us out. And then when the lights turn on, they go out there and they love to compete and they have really good years and they're playing every day. So it just depends on the year and the kid. And it's just sometimes people are just thrust into roles, or when the injury goes down, somebody has to step up and it's the next man up. And that's the beauty of this game. You just don't know. It's why we don't sleep at night, though, too. You just don't know. So that's part of it. Oh, man. Oh, you're so right.
Awesome.
Well, Coach, I can tell you, we're all pretty excited for the season that's coming up. But is there, and really, when you look at a series in particular, I know we always look forward to the War on I-4 with UCF. Personally, I think the Maryland set. I don't know if that's a set or just a midweek, but I'm pretty looking forward to playing them.
Weekend.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so that's
definitely.
they're a good program. I think that would be a really good measuring stick for us. But is there any other series, or maybe those two in particular, you want to talk about and are looking forward to?
All of them, man. The schedule excites me for the fact that it's a lot of teams I've never coached against or played against in places I've never been. So, obviously being in the Big 12 for a handful of years and being down this way, we had UCF in our conference. I played them last year. I think the big ones for me is playing at Florida State. It's just a historic place. Obviously, they were in the College World Series last year. I think that'll be something that I'll personally like. And then ECU. I've never played against ECU before. So I think they come to town that last weekend of the year. Will also be a fun series. But I mean, getting to go to Memphis and hopefully getting to hear some jazz music and going down to Rice. I've never been to Rice before. I've been in Texas everywhere else, but I've not been to Rice, and Birmingham, and going to all those different places. I've been to Boca. I think we go to FAU this year. But I think all those things are fun and get to have the local cuisine and get to bond with the kids. And luckily for us, we got a nice hub right here in Tampa and get to fly to all those major airports. So it's just up and down and you're there. So from the travel perspective for the guys, I think it allows those guys to not be in airports all day and getting quality sleep because that's what it's all about. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned that ECU series, and it is going to be really awesome having them come to Tampa. We do have I would say it's a full-fledged rivalry, but we have kind of developed a little bit of a history with them here in the recent years, and the fan bases too have kind of a respectful kind of camaraderie too. So I think they usually travel well. It's usually a pretty fun series, as they're all usually a really good team as well.
100%. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Rice as well. They obviously have a good baseball history. I think they won the college before, so I think also an interesting trip for at least for you to experience and look at that one as well.
Yep.
So the last thing I want to talk about, is what's your message to Bulls fans about why they should come out and support the team this season?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think first and foremost, the kids have really worked hard. Like I said earlier, it's been a challenging fall, but they really invested in each other and kind of what we've talked about and demanded and asked of them to do. So I think the kids are ready to play. Obviously, you scrimmage all fall and you see the same jersey for the majority of it the entire time. And I think with that, it's nice to see somebody else step out there. Different arms on the mound, different hitters. So I think that's good. But just the energy the kids bring. There's going to be a lot of energy. They're going to play with their hair on fire. That's what Coach demands. That's what he wants. That's what this program's going to be all about, is to really compete and play and practice with a purpose. So I think there'll be some energy from the dugout. But I think just something is we just need to stay healthy. We have pieces here. I think we have a handful of really, really good arms. We got some good hitters. We got some older guys with some experience. And all that adds up to a chance to have success. But at the end of the day, it's a journey, and there's going to be ups and downs, and you got to right the ship together. And in doing that, you got to get closer and and have these kids grow. And a lot of it comes with the fan support. Guys don't have good days. It's part of it. None of us want to have guys that not have success. But I think just being there for the guys and bringing energy for our guys. There's nothing better than when a crowd picks up the team a little bit too. And that's what we're hoping to do, is to build a a program with a group of kids and a team that Bulls fans are proud of, that they want to come out and see, that they enjoy competing, seeing compete, and at the end of the day, hopefully it translates to some wins.
Well, we've been there through some pretty rough seasons, and we look forward to seeing our team have some success. And we'll be behind you guys 100% through the thick and the thin.
Really appreciate it. It's going to be a fun and exciting season here, and looking forward to seeing kind of how these kids grow together and what our team evolves into. You never know this time of year. It's the time where kids are away for 6, 7 weeks, and what are they doing? And if you got the right kids and the right people in your program, they're going to go home and continue to get better and come back in shape, and before you know it, it's basically Valentine's Day weekend and it's first pitch. So lots to be excited about, and looking forward to getting back on the field with all of them here after the break.
Awesome.
Yes, and Coach, we absolutely cannot thank you enough for joining us here tonight. It's been an incredibly interesting conversation as you kind of walked us through your role and kind of what we can expect coming up. Bulls fans, I do want to say, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show on all platforms that you're listening to. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a few others that I can't list out, but please make sure you subscribe, get the notifications so you know when these things drop, and mark your calendars as Valentine's Day weekend is right around the corner. Like I said, Coach, thank you for being with us tonight, and go Bulls.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Matthew. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.